I speak to you in the name of God. Amen. You think you can get away with it because you have power and nobody will know. You think you can get away with it. And you do it because you're hungry. So David, the ruddy and handsome shepherd boy with beautiful eyes, was hungry and he thought he could get away with it. David was a rock star. He really was. Called from the sheep fields to serve King Saul and forge his own identity. David killed the giant and gained favor with Saul. David befriended Jonathan, Saul's son. David was a star. And eventually, when Jowly Saul died in battle, David ascended to the throne and became king of Judah and Israel. David brought the Ark of the Covenant to Jerusalem, dancing in a holy frenzy along the way. He was acclaimed and lauded, admired by men for his savvy and strength, admired by women for his sex appeal and his beautiful eyes. But when you are a star, you think you can get away with it. And one day, David rose from his couch and was walking on the roof of the king's house, and he saw from the roof a woman bathing. The woman was very beautiful. And David was hungry for this beautiful bathing woman. He asked her name, Bathsheba, a married woman, married to Uriah, a faithful soldier in David's army. And David was hungry for Bathsheba. He ordered that she be brought to him, and they had sex. Then she went home. Then she told David, "I'm pregnant." And David was in a pickle. He devised a plan to cover up his hunger, or the consequences of his hunger. He tried to maneuver Bathsheba's husband to have sex with her. But Uriah refused, saying soldiers didn't do that when on duty. So David ordered his commander to place Uriah at the front of the battle and withdraw all the troops. Sure enough, Uriah was killed. And David sent for Bathsheba and made her his wife, one of his many wives. When you have power and think nobody will notice, you think you can get away with it. And you cover up what you've done and try to get on with life. But as we know from Watergate, it is the cover-up that foils everything. Whatever the underlying misdeed, it's the cover-up that brings you down. It's the cover-up that fells even the rock star. When Bathsheba's mourning was over, David sent and brought her to his house, and she became his wife and bore him a son. Zora Neale Hurston, a great lady from Florida, a wonderful author, wrote a magnificent book entitled Their Eyes Were Watching God. Maybe you know the book. It's about black folks in Florida down in the sugarcane lands around Lake Okeechobee and the devastation of a great hurricane. Their eyes were watching God. Well, David may have thought that the eyes of the people were not watching him, but God was watching. And the thing that David had done displeased the Lord. And the Lord sent Nathan to David. Now Nathan was a court prophet. And that is a perilous position. Powerful men don't want anybody telling them the truth. Most stars don't want critics. And David cannot have relished the stinging condemnation of Nathan the prophet. Nathan told the king about a rich man who took the one lamb from a poor man to make a feast for a traveler. In righteous anger, David thundered, "That man should die." But Nathan's thunder was louder. "You are the man. You are the man." And to David's credit and sorrow, he got it. He understood. His soul stood condemned, and he knew that his hunger had been sinful, and he confessed his sin. Many people suffered because of David's hunger. Bathsheba suffered. We can only imagine, because the Bible doesn't often record the feelings and thoughts of women. We can only imagine how used and taken she felt. Uriah lost his life. The child conceived of David's hunger died. And David suffered, and his family suffered. In the years to come, they suffered poisonous sibling rivalries, physical harm. And at the end of his life, David had to run for his life when his son Absalom rebelled and tried to take power and was killed. And the broken old father was left to wail, "Oh, my son Absalom, my son Absalom, would I have died instead of you, oh Absalom, my son, my son." Such a bright beginning, this ruddy and handsome shepherd boy with beautiful eyes, and how low he was brought by his unchecked hunger. Tradition would have us believe that his response to the exposure of his sin and cover-up was to write the Miserere, Psalm 51. "Have mercy on me, O God, according to your loving kindness. Wash me through and through from my wickedness, and cleanse me from my sin." Traditionally, the Psalter was called the Psalms of David. While we now know that they emerged from the life and worship of the people of Israel, if any psalm should be associated with David, it is Psalm 51. We confess it on Ash Wednesday. Bits of this psalm are scattered throughout the daily office in the prayer book. And because we have our own hungers, and we also think we can get away with it, we hope the promise of this psalm is true. We hope that on the other side of our mortification, beyond the cover-up, we hope that God receives our confession and allows our hearts to turn to Him, to make amends, to be sustained by the bountiful Spirit of the Merciful One. But not all hungers are devious, and not all appetites are corrupt. One day, several thousand descendants of David gathered on a hillside, hungry for bread, hungry for hope, hungry for life. And Jesus, who was descended from David according to the flesh, as St. Paul reminded the Romans, felt their hunger, felt compassion, heard the longings of their hearts. And with a few loaves of bread and a few small fish, he fed them, and they were hungry no more. When Jesus' disciples queried him about this great feeding, he said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." We are all hungry. I know I am. Our hungers can distort our lives. They can lead us to things we should not crave. They can mire us in perilous situations. They can convince us to get away with it because we can. Some hungers can never be satisfied. I read once that a child whose mother dies when the child is young never can fill the hole left behind. Our craving for affection can seem relentless. Our hunger for power and influence often leads us back to Psalm 51. We remember David. We celebrate David, ruddy and handsome with beautiful eyes. We celebrate his dazzling joy and his bravery. We celebrate his great steadfastness and his power. But we also remember his ill-fated hunger for Bathsheba and its terrible consequences. We all should be so fortunate to have a Nathan to shake us up and to call us back when we go astray. Sometime in your life, surely, you will hear a raspy prophet's voice. "You are the man. You are the woman." Listen carefully. It is God calling you back from the precipice. Your hungers will be fed. Just let God do it. Amen.